speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
This morning you have the handout which has a series of questions from our slides, so I want to encourage you to maybe look at those questions as we're going through the lesson, or especially in your personal studies at home. Today I want us to look at a lesson that I've entitled Looking for 2020 Focus or Vision in 2020. You shouldn't be surprised, I guess you might say, by the title. Every year preachers try to think of unique ways to present New Year's lessons to help us to refocus and to do various things as we move forward into the new year. And this one was quite easy, to be quite honest with you, because we are 2020, and to think about our vision 2020 and the way in which we all strive for perfect vision as we live here in this life, and therefore as we would take and to apply this from a spiritual standpoint, we ought to strive to have perfect focus in 2020 and always in our relationship and dealings with our God. When we think about having 2020 vision, I want us to think about ways in which we are able to stay focused for the sake of our personal salvation, but also I want us to understand that it is imperative that we stay focused not only for our salvation, but also for the success of the Lord's church here at East End. When we think with regard to this matter, also I want us to understand and to lay a foundation as we think about sight in general. Sight is one of the five senses. We have taste as well as smell. We also have touch here, and then sight. And whenever it comes to our sight, I believe that sight is very important. And in fact, people spend thousands of dollars each year annually in order for them to have a proper vision. Why is that? Because as we grow older, we tend to lose some of these senses in regard to our taste, in regard to our smell, and even whenever it comes to our sight. I remember years ago, whenever I started to lose some of my hearing, is that became a very challenge for me. And I realized that though still I'm blessed to be able to hear to the level of which I can, and yet at the same time I trust that there will be a day where that I will wear hearing aids in order to aid me to be able to hear. Also though, I lost my sense of smell for the most part several years ago, which has also affected my taste, and I could only think about, at that time, only think about what's going to be next. Well, my sight is going, and I, though today, am able to have 20/20 vision by wearing glasses. In regard to this matter, corrective measures help us to be able to see properly. And yet at the same time, as I stand before you, I tell you that because of my stubbornness to wear my glasses, I don't always see to the best of what it is that I could see if indeed I would put on my glasses. Christians must routinely check our focus upon God. Would you agree with that? Every day of our life, we ought to examine ourselves to see if indeed we are focused upon God as what God would have us to focus upon Him. And therefore today, there are some things that I want us to look at, I want us to think about as we think about having 2020 vision or focus as we move forward in and through this new year. To begin with, I want us to understand that it is most important for us to keep our daily focus upon Jesus Christ our Lord. So therefore, I want to ask a question, and that is, how is your relationship with Christ? Do you love Christ with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you follow Him to the greatest of your abilities? Also, are you serving Him according to the standards of which God commands us to do? Why would I ask this question? Because according to what we find in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, he that saith he abide in him ought also so to walk even as he walked. It is important. It is most important for you and me as Christians to constantly be looking to Jesus, to the life of which he lived here, to the examples that he set forth, to the teachings that he taught during the time in which he was here, in order for us to truly represent him as a Christian, as those who are Christ-like, because we must walk as he walked. As Christians also, God shows us, is that we must lay aside every weight and sin. And the reason for that is because sin easily ensnares us. It entraps us, and it will take us off course of being able to properly please God and to glorify God. And therefore, as we lay these things aside, as we repent of sin in our lives, we are to run with endurance the race that is set before us. And how does God show us then that we will be able to be successful in running the race, the Christian race? By looking to Jesus. How? By looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who has endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And therefore, the Hebrews writer, as well as other New Testament writers, stress this point time and time again, that as Christians, as disciples of Christ, as New Testament followers of the Lord, you and I must each and every day examine our lives to find whether or not we are in the faith, as well as to make sure that we are following the steps of Jesus in our everyday walk of life. Because if we are not, then we're going to stray off course. We're not going to accomplish what God commands us to accomplish as it pertains to our relationship with the Lord. Secondly, I want us to understand that if we want to have 2020 focus in 2020 and to be able to have this focus continually in and throughout the course of our life, I want to encourage us today to study the Bible, to study the Scripture more than we've ever studied it before. Have you ever found yourself at a place in your life where that you're saying, you know, I wish that I knew more about the Bible. I wish that I had taken my role as a Christian more serious and engaged in a daily personal Bible study, and in doing so, in questioning these things, have you landed to say that, you know, I would certainly know more about God's Word than I maybe know at His very present time? My friends, God wants us to understand the significance of studying what it is that we have been taught, as what Paul encouraged Timothy to do during the time in which he lived here. He says, you must continue in the things that you have learned and have been assured of. Timothy had been taught the Old Testament Scripture as it was relative to Christ all during the time in which he was a youth. His grandma had taught him these things, as well as his mother had taught him about our God. And what is it that he had been taught? From your childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. What is the significance of the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament, as it related to what is being said to Timothy, but also the New Testament, as it pertains to you and me and our relationship with Christ? These things are able to make one wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. The Scripture is most important, not only as it deals with every aspect of our life, but also to our first point about knowing and following Jesus, about constantly focusing upon Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember what Jesus said himself in John chapter 5 and verse 39? He says, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, for these are they which do testify of me. In this context, he's speaking, looking back to the Old Testament Scripture and those things that were written by inspired writers during the Old Testament times. They do indeed speak with reference to Christ, but let's also relate these things as to everything that we find in the New Testament. Everything about the New Testament is about Jesus, is it not? It's about the doctrine of Christ, and it's about the life of Christ, and it's about the death of Christ, and the saving power of Jesus. Everything that we find in the Bible is about Jesus Christ. And if you and I are going to be able to focus, to have 2020 focus in 2020 and beyond on our Lord, we need to make sure that every single day we study the Bible more and more, and that we apply these standards to our everyday walk of life. But then also, today I want to encourage each and every one of us to pray each day as if our life itself depends upon it. Do you remember what the Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17? The Apostle Paul, in writing to those at Thessalonica, he stressed the importance of praying without ceasing. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? It means that we are to have a constant and a consistent prayer life. It means that every single day, as Christians, we are to understand the avenue that God has put into place as it relates to prayer, that we have this open door, if you would. We have this connection of communication through prayer. And also, though, God wants us to understand that not only is it in place, we must utilize it. We must access it. We must engage in prayer in order for us to please God, as well as in order for us to be successful as a Christian, also in order for us to be successful as a congregation. The Bible teaches us from Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, in a parable of Jesus, Jesus said that men ought always to pray. And in praying always is that we are not to lose heart, but rather is that we are to always be excited about being a Christian, as well as to stay focused in regard to our relationship with God. What are some areas that ought to be focus of our prayer? I think that we ought to be praying for our families. And I trust that I'm speaking to the choir this morning, if you would, in the fact that you do pray for your families, is that you pray that your families will know God and serve God. I trust also that you pray that your families will be kept safe from the things that we find in the world that can not only rip them apart spiritually, but also harm them physically. Yet also, as we pray for our families, I want to encourage us to pray that our families, that our faith will abound as a family, and that our families will be connected with Christ in ways maybe that we've not been connected with Christ in the past. Or maybe that we would have renewed connections as a family that maybe have been lacking in comparison to where they need to be in order for us to properly glorify God. We also ought to be praying for the church, that the church will always stay focused upon those things that are truth, that we will always move forward as a congregation in truth, and that God will bless our efforts individually, as well as that God will bless our works collectively as a congregation, that we would always grow spiritually, but then also that in 2020 and even beyond, is that we would do everything that we can possibly do, and that we would focus as God would have us to focus in order to grow the church numerically. Yes, these things are important to God, but also let me suggest this morning, I believe that it is most important for us to pray for our nation and for the world. We are facing some very difficult times in our world today, and Satan has his place in the world today in ways that I've not seen during my lifetime before. And with this, I pray constantly, and I want to encourage you also to pray constantly for our president, as well as for other leaders of our nation and for the leaders of other nations, that we would be able to have peace, and that this peace also would help us to be able to go forward in preaching and teaching Christ unto the world, that the world might come to know God as what you and I also know God. And the blessings that we find with regard to prayer is that as long as we strive to live our lives, is that God will answer our prayers in a very positive way. And the reason that God will answer our prayers in a positive way is because we're praying according to His will. We're praying not our will be done, but that His will be done. And therefore, also, we're keeping His commandments and doing those things that are pleasing in His sight. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. And in regard to this matter, another very important area that we ought to all always pray in is whenever it comes to wisdom. There have been times in my life where that I have not acted or responded in a wise way. And I trust that there will still be times in my life where that I mess up when regard to things that how I ought to say something or things that I ought to do. And therefore, I will constantly be praying to God for wisdom. And the Bible teaches us in James chapter 1 and verse 5 that if anyone or any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and that God will give us what it is we ask for. He's a very liberal giver, and He gives without reproach, the Scripture teaches us. So therefore, in regard to this matter, as we look to having 2020 vision in 2020 and beyond, let us pray as if our lives depend upon it. But friends, also, I want to encourage us today to be faithful to God continually in worship. Worship matters to our God. Jesus taught us this in John chapter 4, verses 23 and verse 24. The Scripture says in a very direct way, "But the hour is coming and now is." He's speaking in this context to a Samaritan woman. And in this matter, she was speaking with regard to where the Samaritans worship God, as well as her understanding as to the Jews and their worship of God. And contextually, Jesus is now saying is that there's a transition that is taking place, and it is now upon us. And what does He identify? He says that now the time is when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. For those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. My friends, as I read this, as I read and study not only this passage in John chapter 4, 23 and 24, but even elsewhere, there's nothing given here in Scripture that says that worship is an option. But what He shows in a very clear language is that the true worshiper will worship the Father. It's not a matter of if, but it's a matter that they will worship the Father. And then also that our worship will be in spirit and in truth. And we know that the Father is seeking such in regard to our worship. We also understand, according to what we find in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 38 and following, "Therefore, because of everything that He has said in regard to the kingdom, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken," and in this context He's speaking with regard to the Lord's church, how that the church has been established and how blessed Christians are to be able to be a part of the kingdom. He says, "Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably." What does He mean? With reverence and godly fear, is that we bow ourselves before God. It's not an option, but it's a commandment. And that we do these things in an acceptable manner before God. There's that spirit and truth thing. With reverence and godliness and godly fear. The Bible also speaks with regard to this. Again, in the Hebrews letter, as this epistle is written, we find in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, the context, though, that I want to display for us and to bring out is verse 25, where that Christians are urged and, in fact, commanded not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as He goes on to say, had happened there, as is a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. As the Lord's day is approaching, Christians should not say, you know, if I'm out late on Saturday, then I'm not going to go on Sunday. Christians do not have the choice to say that, you know, if I wake up and my foot's a hurting, and I can still get around and I'm going to go out to Walmart later, I'm just not going to go to church services this morning. I'm not going to go to worship. God doesn't give us that choice to make. He says that if at all possible, is that we are to be there. And yes, there are things that hinder us whenever it comes to our health and whenever it comes to things like that, things beyond our control, but things that are within our control, then we need to take control of and to make sure that we do everything that we can to worship God and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But my friends, also this morning, as we look to having 2020 focus and 2020 and beyond, I want to encourage us to look for ways to serve God each and every day of our lives. Look for the opportunities that God lays before us that we might serve Him faithfully in this life. And I'm reminded of Luke chapter 8 and verse 4 in regard to the matter where Jesus answered and said in this context to Satan, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written." He's speaking with regard to the Scripture, again from this context, pointing back to the Old Testament, but still applicable to the New Testament as we are New Testament Christians, to the way in which Jesus lays this out. He makes this point. He says, "You will," or "you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only you shall serve." Serving God is a commandment. And serving God is something that we do collectively, and it's also something that we do individually. It's a part of our everyday walk of life. It's something that we ought to do and rejoice about. It's something that we ought to do, and that it ought to get to the point in our lives to where we do it naturally. It's a matter of instinct, because we understand that this is who we are and that this is what our life is to consist of in regard to being a Christian. What are some of these areas in which we are to focus about serving God each and every day? The Scripture teaches us in Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and verse 10, that we are not to grow weary in well-doing. That can be a challenge within itself, can it not? Because we live in a world that scolds us for standing for God. We live in a world that doesn't seem to be very appreciative of the good things that we do as Christians. And because of the fact that they are servants of Satan, and Satan's always working through them to tear us apart, we can get this feeling to where that we would grow weary in doing good, to the point to where we'd say, "I've done there. I've been there and done that. And I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it." God says, don't be like that. He says, don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart. Therefore, as you have opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially to those who are the household of faith. You know, God opens up doors providentially. He doesn't work miracles. The age of miracles have ceased whenever we receive the completed Word of God. And we do not walk by sight. We don't walk by the miracles. We walk by faith, by reading and studying the Scripture. But still, God works providentially to open up doors. I truly believe this, because I've seen time and time again throughout the course of my life how that God has opened doors for myself, for my family, and for this congregation, and for other congregations. And as God opens up those doors, we've got to have focus, the focus of Jesus, to see the opportunities that God lays before us, and to seize those moments that we might be able to reach out and to do good, but especially do good for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And doing good for our brothers and sisters in Christ will help to serve as an encouragement to one another as we are striving individually and even collectively to be faithful before God. Amen? The good things that we have experienced, my family and I, from you have helped us to be able to stand strong in our faith. And I hope and pray that also as we have strived and as we will continue to try to do good with you, is that these things will serve as a blessing and an encouragement to you. It's the way in which God has designed the church, is that we are always a blessing and an encouragement to one another. But also then, let me go back and to stress the significance then of not only doing good for one another, especially towards one another, yes, but also for doing good with all mankind. A lot of people don't believe in God, and a lot of people will never, even if they do believe in God, they will never pick this up and read it on their own accord. And therefore, the first impression that they will have of God is you and me. And therefore, every day, as God gives us opportunities to do good, to conduct our lives in a godly manner, Christ-like manner, to say things in a wholesome way, in a moral manner, to act ethically before the world with Christian ethics, and even to share Christ with these individuals. It's monumental in regard for our being able to have 2020 focus in 2020 and beyond. If we have 2020 focus in 2020 and beyond, God will be glorified through us. As we serve God, the Bible teaches us is that we are to let our light so shine before men, not that they would praise us, but rather that they would see our good works, and as a result of our good works in the presence of all these individuals, God would be glorified in heaven. That's what life is really and truly all about, amen? And the more that we focus on these things every single day, the more faithful we will be, as well as the blessings of God will come not only to us, but even as a congregation, as we strive to grow the church in 2020 and beyond. Do you have the focus that God requires of His people to have? Are you a Christian to begin with? If not, why not make today that day when you confess Christ to be the Son of God? Why not allow today to be this opportunity that you will seize the moment to become a Christian, to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? But also, if you're an erring Christian, if you're struggling in your faith, if you're not focused the way that you need to be focused, and you see that it's led to sin in your life, and today that sin has separated you from God, the invitation's also there for you that you could respond. We will pray with you and for you that you would be forgiven and that your faith would be renewed and that you can move forward from this day forward to be an encouragement and a worker in the kingdom to the glory and honor of God. If you're here today subject to His call, please come now.